You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Can you give us a rundown on the Commonwealth Ocean Declaration and why it's important for Pacific Island nations?
It's particularly important for the Pacific because a lot of the large ocean states of the Pacific are members of the Commonwealth. And while they might be small land masses, they have both kind of international responsibilities and cultural responsibilities to large expanses of the ocean. Our oceans are in a bit of bad shape at the moment as a consequence of all kinds of different kinds of human activity that range from fisheries and climate change to mining. We're in the middle of a climate crisis, we're in the middle of a biodiversity crisis, and we're in the middle of a sustainability crisis. So the implication of all of that is we really need to get on and do something. And the Declaration covers a range of critical issues that offer solutions to help fix our current problems. So in terms of the Declaration as a statement of we need to collectively act because this is of global significance, it's not just a problem with one country, it makes a strong statement in that space.
And what steps will New Zealand need to take to implement the Declaration's points and take action against the rising sea levels?
The thing that New Zealand really needs to do is work towards meeting the targets of 30% marine protection, 30% marine restoration by 2030. We are well behind where we need to be currently. And the issue here is it's not so much about having meetings and writing fine words on declarations. It's about actual actions to improve the planet. The longer we leave it, further we kick the can down the road, the harder it will become. So we need to act with some urgency in this area. We are talking about the life supporting capacity of our planet, essentially. So it really is a non-trivial problem. Sea level rise is a small element of climate change's impacts on the country. It will impact some parts of New Zealand more than others. There will be impacts on across the board in terms of infrastructure on land, in coastal regions. It'll affect our roading systems, our sewerage systems. It'll affect all kinds of things. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not such a big deal, I think. So dealing with climate change is really thinking about how do we make our coastal systems more resilient. How do we plan for a future where the future is one of change and not only the loss of part of the landscape, the terrestrial landscape, but also it's thinking about what do we do to enhance the environment for the other species that we share the planet with that rely on some of those areas. For example, some of the seabirds and shorebirds that use particular places right now as roosting sites and nesting sites that will go underwater into the future. It's good to see also that the Declaration has New Zealand signing a global microplastics treaty, that contaminant that we certainly have issues with in New Zealand and is a thing that really nowhere in the world has really grappled with seriously yet. So it's great to see that happening.
So, Professor of Marine Biology at Victoria University of Wellington, Jonathan Gardner, said that the Declaration contains very few points on implementation and that it's disappointing for those who want to see real action. How would you respond to that?
Jonathan makes a good point, although I would say that it is not normal for declarations of this kind to actually have the nitty-gritty details about who's going to do what, because it is an international statement. And what we might do in New Zealand to play catch-up might be different from what other countries in the world would do. But I think the key point is that we do need to see clear action plans being developed and implemented to address the issues that we've signed up to as part of the declaration.
The Ocean Declaration comes 6 years after the adoption of the Commonwealth Blue Charter in 2018. How effective was the Blue Charter in mitigating climate change and rising sea levels?
I think the way to look at this is to think about it, you know, country by country in terms of what's going on. I don't think it's been very effective for New Zealand, but other countries may be able to state that, you know, it was very influential in affecting how they were responding to climate change. Again, it's the problem with these issues is that they are very big and they're very complex. and the solutions are many, but they're often place-based and nuanced. And so there isn't some simple statement that could be made and everybody goes, okay, we'll adopt that and problem solved. And so it does require some work to make these things happen. But the issue is that the longer we leave it, the harder it gets, the more expensive it gets, the more impact it will have on our economy and on our society. So we just need to get on and sort it out.
So then one final question. Do you think our government will be able to commit to a plan to reduce climate change and rising sea levels, given their track record on climate policies and response to events such as the sinking of the Manawanui?
They really have to. This is not something that they can ignore, and we really do need to move into a space. And it really needs, this is a long-term problem. You know, we've known about it for decades, and we've kicked the can down the road for a long period of time. We need to be coming up with solutions that extend beyond the duration of any individual government. And they need to be, you know, bipartisan, cross-party agreement, and they need to be focused on actions that are positive. Part of that is there's a lot of unknowns, so lots of research to do in terms of really understanding the carbon cycle on the planet and how we can positively influence it to mitigate climate change effects. I think there's a lot happening in that space now, which are people with some sense of urgency grasping at issues that may not be the solutions they think they are. That's problematic. In terms of the vessel sinking in Samoa, obviously that's a tragedy, but it's a very local phenomenon. And the way that we deal with that is relatively simple, not to say it won't be expensive compared to dealing with climate change. So they're two very different problems in terms of the way you would approach it and fix it. And I think, you know, often it does take time to figure out what the best strategy is that will have the least possible impact. And that a process that I guess is going on. And we just need to make sure that what we do as a nation is what the Samoans need us to do.
You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.